and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. As we say each week, this conversation can include you if you'd like to join us. Our number on Oahu is 941-3689. And if you call us from anywhere other than on Oahu, on the neighbor islands, or if you're somewhere else listening to the live stream, you can get into the conversation by phoning us at 877-941-3689. You've seen them on Oahu. Maybe there's even one in your house. A thick yellow plastic bag received with merchandise you've purchased. But wait, isn't there a plastic bag ban? Over the 5 years, the city and county of Honolulu has maintained the ban. There's been equal criticism about how effective it's really been to mitigate plastic pollution. This year, the city council is attempting to tighten loopholes, but advocates of the ban say the council isn't proactive enough. Changes to the current ban would jettison the compostable bag from the loophole of reusable bags and mandate a fee for bags at the point of sale and an auditor's report on the efficacy of the fee. Bill 39 is set for its final hearing next Wednesday. We'll talk about it today on Town Square with our panel and with you. Again, our phone number is 941-3689 if you're on Oahu, or 877-941-3689. Here's today's panel. Kahi Pakaro is co-founder of Sustainable Coastlines Hawaii and its current executive director. The nonprofit works to keep trash from entering Oahu waterways and includes beach cleanups. Suzanne Fraser is the co-founder and president of Beach Environmental Awareness Campaign Hawaii. Beach, as it's known, is a local grassroots nonprofit organization that brings awareness and solutions to plastic marine debris. And Adrian Hong, president of Island Plastic Bags. It's a second-generation family business in IAF. Thank you to all of you for making time to be here today.
Thank you for having us.
This is a thorny issue for a lot of people, and it's caused a great deal of controversy. Here we are 5 years after a plastic bag ban, still talking about, still trying to, in some people's minds, get it right. I want to go right around the table and get a sense from each of you how you're viewing the current incarnation of the bag ban. And Kahi, we'll start with you.
All right. The current bag ban is a step in the right direction. We started to work on that bag ban so many years ago and realized that politics is a compromise. And we did compromise a bit with the intention of revisiting this ban and working to fill up the loopholes so that they be closed. And the iterations of the current ban is a little confusing, and we hope to shed some light on them in the direction towards Brandon Elefante's version that we see is the best fit in the first step forward.
Suzanne Fraser.
In our opinion, the current law is not working, and all it caused was a switch. So it was more like a switch than a ban, a switch from thin plastic checkout bags to thick plastic checkout bags. For instance, if you go into Don Quixote, instead of getting a thin yellow plastic bag, you now get a thick yellow plastic bag. So there's giant loopholes that need closing, and that's what we're hoping to do next week.
If a lot of those loopholes are closed, what would that mean for you, Adrian Hong?
So just for your first question, what I think of the current ban, I think it's actually reducing the usage of bags at checkout. We've seen our customers dramatically reduce their orders because of the current ban. There was Brandon Elefante's version of the ban, but that I don't believe was heard. I believe Carol Fukunaga's version of the ban was heard, and that one was just a 10-cent fee on top of the current ban for bags at checkout. And while we don't think it's necessary, we don't oppose it. It'll just further reduce the usage of bags at checkout. We were always an advocate of fee for use. Instead of banning any bag, whether it's a plastic single-use T-shirt bag, a compostable bag, or paper bag, we thought they should just charge a fee for that. And that fee could go to litter reduction, watershed management, all kinds of other environmental causes to help out the environment. And at the same time, give consumers an incentive to bring in their bags. Different jurisdictions like Northern Ireland, Washington, D.C., all these places have put fee for use, and they've been very, very effective in reducing the usage of plastic bags without fully banning anything and forcing manufacturers to create something else.
Which could be a big problem for you if
yes.
that were a total ban.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the plastic bag ban on Oahu, and we want to hear what you have to say about it. 941-3689 is our number, or 877-941-3689. Would a 10-cent fee per bag, per use, bother you? Would you not even blink an eye at it, or it would maybe get under your skin a little bit? What's wrong with just bringing your own bags? Those are some of the questions that a lot of people are asking about the plastic bag ban. As all of you are looking at this and the latest incarnation of it, and we've been through several this year, will be heard next week. Do you think that there is anything that's really missing in this bill, aside from maybe the idea that there should be a total ban entirely, that might be, as Kahi, you might suggest, as a less complicated version that would also be a compromise?
Well, honestly, I really think that all plastic bags should be banned. We should be using things that are more sustainable. We're using a bag made out of plastic that we use for a few minutes, made out of a material that lasts forever. I think that the real problem here is that the pollution is the result of failed design, and we really need to design the long-lasting effects out of the plastic bag, which means moving to more renewable resources. So honestly, it's a step in the right direction, but I'd love to just see a complete ban on all plastic bags.
Suzanne?
Just to make it clear, there's actually two versions of the bill. There's the approved version, and there's a proposed version. And that proposed version is a simpler, less complex version that will get to the heart of the matter, because it will and is a good compromise, because it's going to actually ban the thick plastic bags by 2020, the compostable bags in 2018, and leave a fee on bags, so the paper bags will still be 10 cents. So the stores still get to charge for bags, but then it will close two of the four loopholes. Would I like to see it go further? Yes, I would. We still need a ban on the plastic bags used for takeout food and drinks, and the bags used at farmers markets, also with the handles. So those things need to go as well.
Adrian, as you're reading the tea leaves on all of this and hearing some of this discussion, is there a plan that you are looking at that might mean that you're going to have to make your business transcend some of the changing ideas that people have about plastic bags?
So before the ban went into effect the first time around, we just what we did was we brought in compostable bags and reusable bags. We're going to bring in bags that are compliant with whatever law there is, and whatever exemptions there are. So, yes, as things progress, we will adjust. To Susan's point, I don't think a total ban is the right way to go, because Hawaii's so dependent on tourism. We're so dependent on tourism, and people don't come and pack their reusable bags with their swim trunks when they come to Hawaii and vacation here, and they're buying $300, $400 worth of goods. They're going to want something to put that stuff in when they leave the grocery store. They don't want to have to carry it on their hands. That's why businesses are providing these checkout bags, is because they're scared of losing that business. Instead of buying $400 worth of product, they might buy $50 or $25, which is a huge loss for these companies. So being able to provide checkout bags is necessary. That doesn't mean we don't give people incentives to bring reusable bags. It's just that they do need to exist. And only creating one option, only creating 40% post-consumer paper, is a bad idea, because it'll make it more expensive than it currently is. 40% post-consumer paper bags, which are allowed under the Oahu ban, are incredibly expensive because they have to use post-consumer content, content that's been used by the consumer and then reconstituted into a paper bag.
How much more expensive?
So a regular plastic T-shirt bag would be about 2 cents, a cent for a grocery store, and paper bags like you're talking about at Whole Foods would probably be about 25 cents, anywhere from 12 to 14 probably, for other 40% post-consumer paper bags that you'd find at other stores. The problem with it being so expensive is California just banned plastic bags themselves, T-shirt bags, and allowed for compostable bags, reusable bags, and 40% post-consumer bags. You're adding another 38 million people who are now depending on post-consumer paper to create takeout bags. So the expenses, and it's going to drive up expenses. It's going to make it less likely that you'll be able to source 40% post-consumer paper because 38 million people are starting to use it now versus just Ahoy. And it takes a long time for recycling efforts to catch up to what's going on now. So to create additional supply to reduce the price of those 40% post-consumer paper bags is going to take a long time.
Adrian brings up a number of points, and we're going to take them kind of one by one. One, we're going to talk about tourism, because he's right. I mean, how many of us go away and say, oh, yes, I'm going to put away, now maybe you do, Kahi, and some other people, but by and large, people coming here from all over the world may not think, as they're packing all of their goodies to bring here, that they also need to bring some bags. So what about them? And then there's also the issue, if you've got many, many more people who are now creating great demand for 40% post-consumer bags, well, paper bags, that it's going to mean that those prices will drive up because we know that there's greater demand for that, right? And plus, will there actually be the resources to be able to service a lot of people, including so many millions of people in California? So let's take that apart a little bit. Let's just start with tourism.
Well, the whole reason tourists come to Hawaii is to experience paradise, these clean beaches, the pristine waters, the beautiful Hanama Bay, etc. And we've done beach cleanups on all of these beaches and have seen the degradation that the overuse of plastics are having on our environment. And if Hawaii cannot lead by example, how can we push other countries and states, etc., to stop using so much plastic that's ending up in the oceans and washing up ashore on our beaches if we can't lead by example? The whole idea of paradise is being tainted by our overuse of plastics, and therefore the tourists should be able to understand that we need to sustain this and lead by having the reduction of use of plastic bags.
Suzanne?
Well, it's exactly because of the tourists that a fee won't work, because a fee system is about trying to change the habits of the people who live there. But our little island county has less than 1 million people who live here and over 5 million visitors a year to Oahu alone. So they aren't going to worry, the tourists aren't going to worry about paying 10 cents for a plastic bag when they're paying $5 for an airport cart to cart their bags to their car. So it's exactly because of tourists that we need a complete ban on this island in order to get rid of the plastic bags.
If there were a ban, let's just say for a moment, any thought to how tourists might be maybe given a reusable bag when they come to Hawaii? Instead of maybe giving them a lay, maybe we should be giving them a bag. Maybe that might be a new business for you, Adrian.
I see a great opportunity for someone like Hawaiian Airlines or any of the airlines. When you've got a reusable bag that you like and you think that the design's really cool, says Aloha on it or something, they're going to take it home and remember it and really have a great memory of how Hawaii's leading by example to stop the use of plastic bags.
I think this is an untapped industry here because Whole Foods was telling us they have trouble keeping reusable bags on the shelf. It's actually their top-selling product in their two stores at the moment. And, this is something, like Kahi was saying, that people will treasure as a souvenir and take back to their home country and be and help to change the way in other places.
As you hear that idea, is that something that you and your family would consider?
We have sold reusable bags in the past, non-woven PP bags or bamboo bags. They are significantly more expensive than what you would have. So like a single plastic disposable T-shirt bag is about 2 cents. You're talking about anywhere from 80 cents to $1, $2, depending on what material you're making a reusable bag out of, whether it's canvas, bamboo, non-woven PP. And then there's also the problem with if they're coming as tourists and they get the reusable bag, are you really changing habits? Are they going to take it home and use it? Because if they just use it once or twice when they're in Hawaii and they just throw it in their car and they never use it again because wherever jurisdiction they're going to is giving them T-shirt bags, you've just created more plastic waste, a ton of more plastic waste, because these bags are significantly thicker.
We want to hear what you have to say. We're talking about the plastic bag ban on Oahu and its next incarnation being heard next Wednesday. We want to hear from you, 941-3689, if you're on Oahu, or calling us from anywhere else. You can get to us at 877-941-3689. Going to Kelly, calling us from Aiea. Aloha, Kelly, and thank you for your patience.
Aloha. I just wanted to put in my 2 cents and say that when I travel, I do take reusable bags. And I think that all plastic, Hawaii should be a leader in this. All plastic should be banned, especially the thicker stuff. I have paddled in the waters off this island. I have picked up plastic bags out of the water, feet from Honu. I've seen how bad it is. And I think that we have an opportunity here to educate, even if they're tourists. If we educate them and if all they can get is reusable bags, then that's what they're going to use. If there's no T-shirt bag, and I feel for the business people, I feel for you and the expense, but at what point is the expense, you know, more important than the earth? So I really think we need to, Malama Aina, and we need to get rid of this stuff.
Okay. Let me turn this over to Adrian and see, because, Adrian, you grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a place where you and your family have lived for several generations,
mm-hmm.
and obviously you love this place, and you've chosen to make it your home. Does any of this resonate when she says, hey, this stuff winds up in the ocean anyway, it blows, even if it's big and thicker? She's found some of those too.
So, we've always been, we always cared about our impact on the environment. That's why we do recycling on premises. That's why we have photovoltaic panels on the roof of our buildings and stuff like that. I think this is not so much, I think the better course of action is not to ban plastics outright, is to create better, to make sure that there's not as much litter, make sure that people are disposing of them properly, make sure that we do a better job of making sure that there isn't as much litter out there. Because when I do beach cleanups, I do one with Hawaii Society of Certified Public Accountants every year. It's all kinds of plastic. It's not just plastic bags. It's not just T-shirt bags. There's all kinds of plastics. It's not just from one source. So it's definitely an issue, but I think it's more of a making sure that we make sure that the waste goes into, you know, H Power, Waimanal Gulch, and not into the beaches and stuff like that. So you don't find Clorox bottles on the beach, or you don't find toothbrushes or this or that on Ala Moana Beach. So I think it's more of a litter issue than an outright ban.
All right, as we talk about that litter issue, and he's right, when you go walking on the beaches and you see, you know, abandoned toothbrushes and you see pieces of plastic kids' toys. I mean, we've had a love affair with plastic for generations and decades, and it's showing up in the Pacific Gyre. It's showing up on our beaches. But in terms of how people dispose of bags, I mean, we've all seen people put bags in the trash bin thinking they're doing really good thing. And it goes into the bin, and then a little while later, a gust of wind may take it out, or somebody else shuffles it a little bit, and that thing goes flying, which seems to be where, you know, what some of your conversation has been. I'm watching your head mm-hmm. nod, Suzanne, and your head, Kahi.
Yeah, so I primarily don't like the idea of it being a litter issue. I hate when, I shouldn't say hate's a strong word, but I dislike when industry pushes the onus on the consumer. I really like to see industry really taking a lead and really understanding that it's the failed design that's creating these pollution problems. And if we can focus on, you know, not so much just on recycling, but on, hey, if we never use it in the first place, we'd never have to recycle it. We do beach cleanups primarily not to just keep the beaches clean, but to really show people that, hey, these might be the items that we use every day in our every lives. And if we use less or eliminate them altogether, they won't end up in the ocean. So it's not really a litter issue, but it's an overuse issue and a failed design issue.
Suzanne?
Yeah, I totally agree with Kahi. This is not a litter issue, and I'm also annoyed with how often the debate gets switched over into this is a litter issue by industry. But it's definitely a material issue, because plastic bags, like you were saying, Bethann, easily float and fly off in the wind, and we've seen that happen out of the back of pickup trucks, out of the garbage truck. Dog knocks over the rubbish bin at the beach, and the bags easily come out. And because they are lightweight, even the thicker bags still blow up in the air and get into the ocean. And unfortunately, plastic is, it's not only made from a non-renewable material, which is oil, but it's also, it's lasting forever. And we have never seen an eaten paper bag wash out of the ocean. We've never seen an eaten cotton bag wash out of the ocean. But what we've seen time and time again coming out of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch are plastic bag knots, where marine life have eaten off the ends and leaving just the knot remaining. So actually, Kahi has an eaten plastic bag here today.
And we'll take a picture of that, and we'll put it up on the website so you can see what we're looking at now. And clearly, You've all seen this, too. We have lots and lots of callers on the line now. If you'd like to join us, 941-3689 is our number. If you're on Oahu, 941-3689. If you call us from the neighbor islands, if you're listening to the live stream, please get to us at 877-941-3689. Going to Stephen calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Stephen. Thanks for your patience.
Aloha. My comment is about, I think education is one of the prime things that needs to be done over and over again until it's just spread well within the community and everybody knows about it. I don't think the ban should be totally on paper, on plastic bags. Some of the design, I think, should be changed. The lighter plastic bags are the one that flies out of the vehicles and comes out of the bin so easily. The heavier ones do not. And there's good usage for the plastic bags. A lot of the local culture use the bags in making designs, lays, ornamental wear. People come to Hawaii not just for the beaches and the sky and the coconut trees, okay? They come here also for the culture and the people.
Okay, thank you, Stephen, very much for your comment. We're going to move on to Angelina calling us from Kahului.
Hello.
Hi, Angelina. Welcome
Hi.
To Town Square.
Thank you. So my comment is that I feel that the plastic bag is a big issue, and thank you for addressing it. And I feel it's more of a responsibility that we need to just take on and pull the trigger on doing something about it and committing to it. And it is about education. It's about seeing the overall impact. And we have to start somewhere. And I understand the expense on the business owner and perhaps the consumer. I'm a business owner myself. But we do have to get to a point where we just take responsibility.
Angelina, can I stop you for a second? You say that you're
sure.
a business owner yourself. In your business, do you have cause to give people bags with whatever business you transact?
Yes, I have a salon business and I sell retail.
So are you giving people bags?
Not plastic bags. They're getting paper bags, and I've asked them to bring their own reusable bags.
Do you give them any incentive for doing that at your salon?
No, I just tell them it's best for the environment, and they know that I'm the person, I'm their hairstylist, so they know that I'm very passionate about, you know, this issue and passionate about cleaning up the planet and taking responsibility and ownership. So
have you gotten any pushback?
No pushback. No, not at all. And because it's a matter of educating them. And I do beach cleanup out at Kualoa Beach Park. And I share with them the rubbish that I find and all the plastic bags and the eaten plastic bags and how that's got to be ending up in marine life bellies. And so it's a matter of sharing with them what I see and why I'm so passionate about it.
Okay.
And they get on
board. I think we've got your point. Thank you so much for making the call. We're going to get to some of our other callers in a second, but I want to ask you guys about this idea of education. And I mean, here she's a stylist. She's not doing environmental things as a business, but it's something she cares deeply about, and how we talk to each other one-to-one-to-one, and her choice to tell her clients to either you bring your own bag or you're going to get a little paper bag from me, and not charging them any more for that, perhaps, but still the idea that she's making other folks aware of it. Have we done enough to be able to educate the public, to educate ourselves, our friends, our neighbors, talking to each other and being willing to talk about this?
Go ahead.
Well, I want to ask Adrian, too, because you're kind of on both sides of this. Here you are, this is your business, but clearly you care about the environment because you go off and do beach cleanups and try to maintain a sense of environmental awareness.
So I think education is a huge deal, not just about what we should be doing to make sure. I mean, because like I said, tourism is our largest industry. So making sure that the beaches are clean, making sure that we do have attractions that attract people and bring them here is really important. So not just on a personal level, but on a business level, that makes sense too. Making sure that we make sure that people don't litter. We do the best we can to keep our beaches clean and able to be used by everybody. I also think it's important to educate people on the pros and cons of bans in general, too, because there is the cost component of it that people should know about when they're deciding whether or not they want to go for a ban or not. And I also think that people should know that paper is not also a great option either. It takes a lot of chemicals and a lot of energy to produce a paper bag. And since they're so bulky, it takes a lot to ship them as well. So you're talking about a lot of oil being used to produce those bags, too, because you've got to burn enough energy to actually make those paper bags. So it's not completely without cost either.
Or cost in lots of different ways, mm-hmm. and not this great sterling idea that has sometimes been sold to us as being, well, just use paper. Once upon a time, the idea was you don't want to use paper mm-hmm. because you're going to be needing
trees.
Too many trees. And there are people who clearly remember that as part of their childhoods, too. It's really tough to be able to say here is a crystal clear, perfect solution. But when you hear some of the conversation, Kahi and Suzanne, about the paper bags and the fact that it does take chemicals to produce, you are consuming a great deal of resources to make that happen. They have to be shipped here, so a greater carbon footprint. We don't have a paper plant in Hawaii, so very clearly it has to be brought here. How do you make that conversation move in a circle that might create greater awareness of bring your own bags? Buy a bag. Make a bag.
It's pretty simple. We're not fans of paper bags either. We are about reusing. We don't want to be shipping in all this paper bag. We don't want to be cutting down all these trees. We want people to reuse.
Just a quick note for you. We have a very full bank of callers. Lots of people want to get into this conversation.
That's awesome.
If you're trying to get in and you can't, just please keep trying. We do want to talk to you. Suzanne.
Well, we've been educating about this issue for 11 years because when we started our organization 11 years ago, we focused on two of the main most harmful plastic items that harm marine life. One is plastic bags, the other being cigarette butts. And so we've been educating continuously in schools and the community about the harm that plastic bags do to sea turtles. And it's really quite awful because we have every sea turtle in Hawaii is either endangered or threatened. And the leatherback sea turtle is in critically endangered levels. And its only food is jellyfish, which is what a plastic bag floating in the ocean looks like to sea creatures. And when they ingest that bag, they can get it down because they have spine-like things in their throat that will push the bag down. But they can't vomit it up. They can't poop it out. So that it stays blocked up inside of them, and the natural food starts to, the organic food starts to break down and form gases. And that's what causes a turtle to start becoming positively buoyant or float to the surface of the ocean because of that plastic bag blocking the release of the gases. Once a turtle starts floating on the surface, it takes up to 60 days for that sea turtle to die an excruciating death through starvation because sea turtles need to be able to dive underneath the surface to find their food. So, that's just a horrible way for these sea turtles to go. And this is the major reason why we're focusing on plastic bags. And by the way, plastic bags, every plastic thing is made with chemicals.
As you hear some of the conversation about the turtles mm-hmm. in particular and other sea life that may find their way to plastic bags like the one that we have sitting on the table that's been eaten, how does that make you feel?
So, like I said, I don't want that to happen. I don't want animals to die. I don't know, my panel, the other people on the panel disagree with me, but I think it is a litter issue. We need to be more proactive about educating people about bringing reusable bags, about not littering, or making sure that they're disposed properly.
All right, we've got lots of callers, and we're going to try to put everybody through, so keep calling. We do want to get you through. Going now to Jensen in Kailua. Aloha, Jensen. Okay, sorry, we have a comment from Jensen in Kailua saying that he'd be willing to pay 10 cents for bags that the military commissaries are currently exempt from the bag ban. He sees that as being a loophole as well. Also have a comment from Kurt in Volcano Village. Hawaii Island has successfully been educating people on the importance of bringing reusable bags. Clearly his point is it can be done, but you got to make an effort. And now we're going to go to Kurt calling us from North Kohala. Kurt, are you there?
Aloha.
Welcome to Town Square.
Thank you. My comment, threefold, is that after a couple of tries on the Big Island, we managed to get the ban, and we all noticed that all the bags that were hung up in Calgary trees on the dry side, flapping in the wind, eventually went away and weren't replaced. The whole place definitely looks better, the beaches, and, you know, I spend time in the water, and we stopped finding those things out in the water, so we saw the impact right away. The second thing is the shopkeepers ask if we want a box to take our purchases home with, because they get all their different materials and all kinds of cardboard boxes, so often we can take those home instead, and then we recycle the cardboard. So that works pretty well. So it seems like the experiment has been working very well here. At least from my experience.
Great.
And the last thing is that it's always entertaining to me to hear the industry side of the issue and the contortions they go through to put a different side on things when we're trying to do something like this with overwhelming evidence for the benefits.
So you're saying that it bothers you when industry talks about this as being a litter issue?
Well, you know, there's always many sides to any issue, and I always appreciate other perspectives. But, you know, sometimes when there's really so many benefits from a social action, you know, the industry needs to adapt, and they generally find that they're able to do so.
Adrian Hong thinks that his business is trying to adapt to some of this, but I want to ask him the question. From your clients, are they telling you that they want you to switch over to something that's more reusable, or that, as you said before, they've been lessening their orders, and as they've been decreasing, obviously that decreases your profits.
Yeah, so as usage has gone down, we've been able to sell less. But whatever ban goes into effect, we'll be selling whatever's available to customers to make sure our customers are served. When the ban went into effect, instead of just manufacturing T-shirt bags locally, plastic T-shirt bags locally, we also brought in compostable bags and reusable bags. We offer a wide range of products, and we will continue to do so. Whatever ban goes into effect, we'll offer.
You're
going
to stay in business.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go now to Diana calling us from Kauai. If you'd like to join the conversation about the plastic bag ban on Oahu and Bill 39 that will be in its final reading next Wednesday, we want to hear from you. 941-3689, 877-941-3689. Going to Diana calling us from Kauai.
Yes, hi there. Thanks for... hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. And I want to tell anybody who's listening is that the education needs to go to the plastics industry. Kauai Island is not only buried in plastic bags and such.
You know, Diana, we're having a really tough time hearing you. Could I ask you please to call back? And also just want to correct what I just said. I think I said Bill 39 meant Bill 59. Sorry about that. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you'd like to weigh in about what you think Oahu should do with the ban that has been in existence for the last 5 years. Some say it's not been terribly effective. Others say, well, it was a good start, but we always knew we had to move along. And what's happening with industry, as you've been hearing Adrian Hong from the Island Pacific Plastic Bag say, that they are going to continue to service their clientele. Whatever that needs to be done, they're going to do it, but they'd like to stay in business too. 941-3689, 877-941-3689. Going to Georgia calling us from Kahului. Aloha, Georgia. Welcome to Town Square.
Hello.
Hi there.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Oh, I just called to say I was listening to your fine program as I'm driving in my car. I live in Kahului, and I got behind a garbage truck. And guess what was flying out of the top of the truck? Plastic bags and more plastic bags, and they kept coming as I followed it until he turned the other way. Just illustrating the point, we don't need them and we don't want them. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Going now back to, no, I'm sorry, I take that back. We're going to go off to Tom, and I don't know where Tom is calling from. Tom, are you there? Not yet. Okay. All right. A little premature there. But if you'd like to join the conversation, you can. 941-3689 is our number if you call us from Oahu. And from the neighbor islands at 877-941-3689. Going to Tyler. Tyler, you there? No, I think we're having a problem with that. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. I know lots of people are trying to get through. We do want to talk to you. Please keep trying. Kahi.
The last caller talking about the truck with the plastic bags flying out the bag out the back is a perfect example of how it's not a litter issue. Littering is this this thought that people are just throwing stuff on the ground. And for those that were around in the 70s, I think it was around then when the Crying Indian commercial came out, where he's paddling down the river and he's seeing his river now polluted, and he sheds a tear and talking about we need to keep America beautiful by stopping littering. That was a whole notion that was put upon us by industry, pushing the onus on the consumer and deflecting the problem at its source, which was the failed design of our products.
Some would say a little bit of both, because we also had a throwaway culture, people believing that it was perfectly fine to just toss something away. Somebody will clean it up. That's their job. And this great love affair that America began to have with plastics in, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and not being concerned about any of it, whether it was a broken Tupperware container or whether it was a plastic bag or toothbrush or a child's toy. There was also a sense that consumers had to have some responsibility and skin in the game. That's what I seem to hear from a lot of you, that everybody needs to take a little bit of a part of this, because clearly life is changing, and how much it's changing may be defined by what we see happen with Bill 59 next Wednesday. Our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Deborah calling us from Kailua. Aloha, Deborah. Welcome to Town Square.
I'm sorry, say again?
Deborah, are you on? You're on the line with us on Town Square.
Oh, thank you very much.
And hey, one second. You're sounding really, really hollow. Could you please just turn down your radio and make sure that you're speaking away from it?
The radio is off.
Okay. We still have a hum that's happening there. No, I think we'll have to have you call back. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Deborah, let's see if we've got you back. Deborah, you there? No, I don't think so. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Don't know what's going on, but keep trying. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Suzanne, as you hear this argument about the litter issue versus the consumer responsibility in the litter issue versus industry's responsibility in the entire issue, litter and otherwise, how do you process that?
Well, what we've been teaching about for the past 11 years is that it's important for people to bring their own reusable shopping bag, because using plastic items is a wasteful activity that we didn't do in the past. So, you know, I'm actually nearly 50, and when I was a child and a teenager, we didn't even have plastic bags. So, you know, plastic has been the last 30 or so years, and it's really important for everyone to take responsibility and to bring their own reusable bag. And that's not very hard to do. And when we travel, we bring our own reusable bags. And if we don't have enough bags, we use a box, like on the Big Island, like the caller mentioned. And that's a very easy thing for everyone to do. It's not a hard, difficult thing. So I think passing this law next week, the Brandon Elefante's version, is going to be a win-win for everybody, because the
stores... Except, of course, if you're Adrian Hawk.
Well, I think, you know, Adrian, I would love to see some new products on the market. We brought in insulated reusable bags, and they're really hard to get hold of, and I was going to actually even call you and say, can you make one of those? And then there's bottle bags that have sleeves for each bottle and a pad underneath, and then you've got foldable reusable bags. I mean, there's just so many different varieties of reusable bags. They actually even work better than a plastic bag, because no plastic bag insulates your food.
I have to confess that as a wedding gift, one of our more environmentally minded friends gave us a whole bunch of these things, which are now in my car. And at first I thought, well, that's an interesting gift, but it's something that we've turned out to use time and time again. Anyway, our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to go back to Tyler calling us from Kihei. Tyler, you there? Did we get you this time?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Go ahead.
Yeah. My name's Tyler. I'm calling just to comment in. I'm actually a kayak guide, so I'm pretty passionate about the trash in the water. I mean, it seems like every day I'm pulling something out of the ocean, whether it be, I mean, everything. But it seems like the common trend, it seems like education, you know, is a big thing. And me as a kayak guide, one thing I love about my job is educating the public or the our visitors to the island about stuff like that, because they're coming to Hawaii to the unknown, right? Everything's really new to them. They're sensory, you know, everything's going off. So I feel like we have a great avenue, maybe just on the plane, to give them a little 5-minute public service announcement, you know, a little video showing a family on a beach just picking up bags. And I feel like that's a great avenue to really educate a lot of people, you know, really quick before they even touch foot on the islands, with already the mindset of how we are conscious of that, you know, of our environment and how we try to take care of it. So I just wanted to comment as far as the education part. You know, another side note, I was at Ukamahame Beach Park, and it was a graduation party the night before, and I literally thought a trash truck had blew up, and there was so much trash. Well, after I started walking the beach, I realized there were beer cans, Carl's Jr. wrappers, Taco Bell wrappers. It was all from a graduation party. Residents, you know, local kids that grew up here. So, again, education seems to be, I think, the main thing. And once people are educated, a 15-cent, 20-cent little add-on, that's going to be nothing, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So I just wanted to chime in on the education part.
All right, Tyler, thanks so much. Adrian, I can imagine that having heard some of the callers that you've heard and even some of the conversation, you might feel that you're a bit beat up over all of this because you have a family concern that's based in making plastic bags. That's in your name, Island Plastic Bags. Mm-hmm. Given all of that we've been talking about, given all that you've been hearing and some of the sensitivities and the way people are talking to each other, some of the things that you've seen when you go out to do beach cleanups, is there a different strategy that your family is also pursuing to be able to perhaps make some of these bags that we talked about a little earlier?
So reusable bags, like non-woven PP bags, canvas bags, they require a fair amount of labor because they have to be sewn at the seams. So most of them are done in Asia because the cost of doing them in the United States or other places is usually too expensive. We bring in certain reusable bags and sell them, but they aren't a great seller for us because of the fact that they're so much more expensive than compostable bags, the other reusable bags, and paper bags.
Would this put you out of business if there were a big shift to people using those kinds of reusable bags that cost a whole lot? Or do you think that there might be a way that you could bring that kind of manufacturing small scale to Hawaii and to your factory?
So I don't think it would ever be feasible to manufacture those kinds of bags in Hawaii. We definitely never would go out of business because of the bag ban. Most of our manufacturing is in institutional can liners for hospitals, nursing homes, airlines, hospitality, restaurants, and stuff like that. So there's a portion of our business that's based on the grocery bags, the takeout bags for food, but it's not a main part of our business. But it would be a part of a business that we would lose a portion of it if that ban did go into effect. I did want to mention one other thing. One of the callers said that the commissaries are exempt from the ban. The city and county doesn't have the authority to tell the federal government what to do. So that's never going to be a loophole that'll ever be closed. There are certain things in the city and county bill and certain things, the way they word certain things, just because of the fact that they don't have the authority to do certain things.
Of course. Thanks so much. Going now to Rick calling us from Hilo. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to Town Square.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
A pleasure.
I, as you know, is from Hilo. I've also lived on Maui, and both islands have a plastic bag ban, and I'm not understanding why Oahu is taking such a long time to enact the ban. I mean, we go to the store, we use paper bags, or we use reusable, and it's a non-issue. And yes, we pay a little more for the paper bags when you forget to use your reusable, but I just don't understand why Oahu is taking so long to enact the ban.
That kind of criticism has been said before. It's nothing that the people sitting around the table here haven't heard before. Why do you think Oahu seems to be somewhat out of step with other counties?
I think it's primarily due to lobbying efforts and the effect that businesses have on our politicians. Nonprofits don't necessarily have the wherewithal and the funds to help fund campaigns and get people elected, whereas industry does. So I think a lot of it has to do with the vast amounts of business entities that are here in Honolulu that are able to affect our political sways.
Okay, anybody want to add to that or answer that?
I would like to just say that I think the opposite of what you think. I think the non-for-profits like Blue Planet have tremendous resources that small businesses just don't have access to. I mean, when you have organizations like Blue Planet, like Surfrider, who they can send people out to testify at each one of these council meetings, I can't make every council meeting. I got a business to run. A lot of small restaurants, bars, and stuff like that that may have an important that may be affected by like polystyrene, expanded polystyrene bags, foam container bans, T-shirt bag bans, all that kind of stuff. These things affect them, but they don't have the resources, the time. They're trying to, you know, feed their families, trying to get their business running. They don't have the resources to go to every single city and county meeting of Honolulu and stuff like that.
That, you know, and extending it a little further, that would seem to argue for the idea that Oahu might be pushing that as well as other counties are, and yet many people have been criticizing Honolulu for being behind what other counties are doing.
So the city and county of Honolulu does have a ban in place. That's not up for discussion. We already have a ban in place. We put in one in 2012, and then I believe in 2015 we tweaked it, or late 2014 we tweaked it. But we already have a ban in place. It did start in Maui, then it went to, I don't know if it was Kauai or Hawaii next, but then and then eventually got to Oahu. But Oahu does have a ban in place that's very similar to Maui County's current one or Hawaii County's current one. The only difference is the thickness of the reusable bags.
All right, let's talk to someone from Maui. Let's go to Carol calling us from Maui. Aloha, Carol. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha, Bethan. How are you?
Doing all right. Thank you. Go ahead.
So I love the idea of the plastic ban. And I think that what we're missing is that as consumers, we're consuming exorbitant amounts of plastics. It's not just bags. It's not just the styrofoam containers. It's the toys we buy for our kids. It's those flotation devices that the children love to take to the beach and to the pool. It's balloons that we buy our children for their birthdays and for parties. And these things all add up and accumulate within our ecosystem and our environment, and they're having detrimental effects. And I think that one of the big things that we're missing is that we are stewards of this planet and the environment, and we need to educate our children, especially so that we can leave behind something better for them. And as a consumer, I think we need to stop, and I know this sounds radical, but I would prefer to go to a restaurant where I may have to pay a little more for the cardboard container than the styrofoam container. I would rather do that. I would rather buy my food in a recyclable container, and I would rather use my own bags or paper bags.
Carol, I just need to stop you just in the interest of time, because I think we've gotten your point, and we want to be able to allow other people to make theirs as well. Thanks very much for the call. She's made the point that, you know, this is still back on to the consumer. You make your choices. You vote every time you pay for a particular item that's made out of plastic, whether you're buying plastic bags to store food in, whether you're buying children's toys, whatever it may be, that you have a choice. Going now to Phil calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Phil. Welcome to Town Square.
Hey, thank you. You know, I'd just like to make the point that there are costs associated with these plastic bags that go far beyond just the cost of the bag itself. and you can look on that as a tax that is eventually paid by us all and the environment. And I really think that if people want to use plastic bag and they're willing to pay that tax up front at the retail shop or wherever it is, that's a spot where that cost can be delivered. Whatever the cost of that bag is, eventually it's going to be paid. And I think that we ought to consider that when we're thinking about the cost or the no cost of the plastic bag.
Well, clearly that would be in the bill, because at point of sale, somebody would be charged 10 cents.
Yeah, but 10 cents doesn't cover the long-term costs of plastic bags ending up in the environment. You know, these companies end up using plastic, making the money up front, yet then, like he said, the taxpayers were the ones that end up paying the long-term costs. So 10 cents doesn't cover the cost. What it's meant to do is to deter you from using the plastic bags.
All right, we're going to move on. In the interest of time, we have callers on the line. Everyone who wants to get in, we'll try to do our best. Going now to, John from Kona?
Yes, is that me?
That would be you. Welcome to Town Square.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I think we're kind of focusing on plastic bags. How about the exhaust pipes of all the airplane engines that deliver all the tourists here? How about the exhaust of every automobile?
John, forgive me, but I'm going to just stop you with that, because that could be a whole other hour, and we'll certainly be talking about that. But specifically about the plastic bag ban, do you have anything to chime in about that?
Well, I think Donald Trump told us all what he thinks about that stuff about an hour ago.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. Going now to Jim calling us from Kohala. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, well, I'm going to kind of repeat what was said. I live on the Big Island, and we've had a ban on those things for a while, and no big deal. And me being a man, I always forget to bring a reusable, so I buy those paper bags once in a while, but it's really not a hardship, and the place looks a lot better. I mean, the ocean's a little cleaner already, and I have just kind of a bigger idea. If we as a species can't do this little bitty thing, what chance do we have against something like global warming? I mean, this is so minor. This is such an insignificant, minor inconvenience. I mean, Donald Trump, he just, like the caller earlier said, he just spoke it perfectly, because that's the resistance to change and to progress.
You're talking about in pulling out from the Paris Accords.
Short-term profit over our kids and grandkids are going to pay this price.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. If you want to get in, we've got a little more time, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. You've heard what some of the callers are saying. We're going to go back to them in just a second. But very succinctly, they're saying, look, this is a little thing. Why shouldn't we change this little thing if we can? And that, you know, you've all said this, Kahi and Suzanne, and even you too, Adrian, that, you know, people who want to do this are going to do this, and you've tried to offer it as well. But as this begins to swell and take root in Hawaii, will there be a situation where, as if people have, you know, just as if they have their trash bins, where people might be given bags and just say, okay, if we're going to do something about that, let's just give everybody 2-3 bags and say, here, this is what your taxes are buying you.
Do you mean reusable bags?
Reusable bags, in the same ways that we have people being delivered their, you know, recyclable containers once upon a time, or trash bins, or the rest of it. You know, how high do you want to take this?
Well, that's a wonderful idea. I like it. I think that's.
I don't think that it should be a burden on the city or the state to provide us reusable bags. I think we have the ability to get them on our own. But it is a small issue, this plastic bag. I can't believe we're actually talking about it on the radio right now. But I'm stoked on the opportunity. But if we can ban plastic bags here in Hawaii, the millions of tourists that are coming to visit here in Hawaii get to take that lesson that they've learned, that Hawaii, which was once one of the most sustainable cultures in the entire world in history, is doing it again, and we can too. So it's a lot easier for us to say, hey, stop using so much plastic if we ourselves as a state stop using so much.
Going now to Nancy calling us from Ka'ava.
Yes, thank you so much. I live near Kualoa State Park, and I frequent it. And the buses that unload a lot of the tourists, immediately the people light up cigarettes, and it's clearly stated on huge signs everywhere, no smoking. In addition, the driver will light up a cigarette, and the cigarette butts always go straight to the ground, never into the trash bin. Always onto the ground.
So, Nancy, forgive me because we're running short of time. So, are you making the point that if they can't get it right with the smoking, with the signs there, that tourists are going to have real issues with the plastic bags issue too?
Definitely.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Going to go now to Charles calling us from Maui. Aloha, Charles. Can you make it quick?
Aloha. I think not enough is being said about or emphasized about education, which creates societal awareness about the problem and therefore can curtail the problem regardless of economic deterrence. The fellow from Kihei made that point. I'm offshore. I'm underwater. I see it all the time. Someone made the comment there that in the 60s and 70s we had a throwaway culture, and we did, but it did not come about change until the public was educated as to what pollution was doing to our world. They were throwing things away, not thinking someone else was going to pick it up. They were throwing things away because they were totally ignorant of what they were doing.
Charles, forgive us, but we're just about out of time. I think you made your point, and my apologies to everyone else who's been waiting to get into the conversation. We appreciate your call, but we're just about at noon. You know, we're going to just go right around here. We've got just a couple minutes left. You've heard what some of the callers have had to say. A lot of them come back to the issue of education, that this isn't just about foisting something on the public or saying we're going to put another fee onto this if you want a plastic bag when you buy it. Maybe some of that may help. Maybe it won't help. But if, in fact, everybody's pointing to the idea, or many of our callers are, that we haven't done a good enough job of that, how do you think that we do a better job of that as we go forward, regardless of what happens with the plastic bag ban?
Our organization has done an enormous amount of education. That's all that we do. Even when we're doing a beach cleanup, a litter prevention, any kind of thing.
Right, but that's your organization. Is there a larger context for this?
So I'm saying that education is not enough. Fees are not enough. It's a material issue, and we have to ban the actual item. We need a ban on all plastic checkout bags.
All right, Kahi.
I'd like to agree with Suzanne's. Education is super important, but we can't reach everybody, and we need to get more people educated, and since we can't, a ban is necessary.
And Adrian, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I think education is super important. I would have rather have done instead of a straight ban like we did in 2012 and then we tweaked it again, I would have rather done like a fee for use, like a 10 cent fee for use, and use that money for education and environmental causes and stuff like that. Like certain other jurisdictions, that money doesn't go to retailers. It goes straight to the jurisdiction.
Well, you may get the opportunity. We don't have long to wait until next Wednesday. I want to thank all of you for being around my table today, to Suzanne Fraser, to Kahi Picaro, and to Adrian Hong. Thank you for being here and your candor. And to all of you who called, we had over 20 callers, put through as many as we can. We'll talk to you very soon. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Thanks for joining us for Town Square.